Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT. Audio bandwidth for Net at Night is provided by Winamp for Android, the ultimate media player for your desktop and Android device, featuring wireless sync. Download it free at winamp.com/android. Video bandwidth for Net at Night is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com. It's time for Net at Night with Amber MacArthur and Leo Laporte, episode 183, recorded January 4th, 2011. Kevin Rose and Foundation. Net at Night is brought to you by Ford and voice-activated sync, featuring true hands-free calling, turn-by-turn directions, 911 assist, and more. Available exclusively on Ford, Lincoln, and Mercury vehicles. And by Audible.com. To download the free audiobook of your choice, go to audible.com/night. It's time for Net at Night for Petaluma, from Petaluma, California, US of A. I'm Leo Laporte.
And I'm Amber MacArthur from Toronto, Ontario, Canada.
Yes, you are. Hello, Toronto.
Hi, Leo.
How are you?
Good, and Happy New Year.
Happy
I haven't
year.
Talked to you for a couple of weeks.
Yeah, first show of the new year of 2011. Did you have a good Christmas and New Year's and all that?
Yeah, I had a really relaxing holiday. I stayed in Toronto and hung out with Chris's family, and I normally go away back to the East Coast, but I stayed here this year, and I couldn't believe how long the holiday was when you're not traveling and packing your bags and, you know, trekking all over the place. So it was nice and relaxing.
That's good. So you got a good rest. That's the most important thing. Yeah.
And a really good rest.
And baby's first Christmas. Was it fun?
Second
already?
Yeah. He's going to be two in a month, Leo.
Oh, my goodness. That's amazing. Are you sad you're not coming to CES this year?
Not really.
No. I never see anybody regret that, actually.
I don't know. I mean, I guess it's fun, but I've been a couple of times, and I feel as though, you know, I've had a good time both times, and it's a little chaotic, so I don't mind not being there, and I feel as though the coverage is so good online that I can get a taste of that while sitting in the comfort of my own house.
We're going to have a lot of fun. We're going to have a bunch of people down there. And our coverage begins Wednesday evening with the digital experience and goes right through the weekend, including full wall-to-wall coverage for Thursday, Friday. Actually, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. We start Thursday afternoon at 1. So Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern. Yeah, we got a lot. And everybody's going to be down there. Me, Tom Merritt, Becky Worley, Sarah Lane, Brian Rushwood's going to be down there covering it for us. Ryan Schrout will do This Week in Computer Hardware. Scott Wilkinson will be our home theater guy. I mean, I have a ton of people there. It's going to be a lot of fun. I can't wait.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Very fun.
Yeah. But now, a big show today.
I know. So we are having Kevin Rose on the show as a guest to talk about his new project, Foundation, which just launched yesterday, which is Monday, which is a video newsletter that he's putting out once a month that people can subscribe to for $3.99, or you can wait a week and get the videos for free. And he's going to tell us a little bit more about it a little later on the show.
Should be interesting. There's Kevin.
The inventor of Twitter and the co-founder of Square. Let's talk to him.
Beautifully shot, I have to say. I think they used digital SLRs to shoot it.
Yeah, it looks really nice. Yeah. So,
but it's kind of simple, which I like too. It's kind of a spare production, which is kind of neat.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, even in the intro, you know, I was expecting something a little more elaborate, and then they kept it pretty straightforward. You know, it's a nice long interview, and it's kind of the opposite of what we're seeing on the web with really, you know, short snippets of video content. It's nice to actually sit down and watch something that a feature interview that's a little bit longer.
This first guest is Jack Dorsey, the man who invented Twitter, and his new company Square is very cool. It allows you to charge stuff with an iPhone or an Android phone and a little piece of hardware that plugs into the audio port. It's cool. So that'll be fun. We'll talk to Kevin Rose in just a few minutes. About 10 minutes, in fact, exactly. Before we what's been going on in the world?
A lot, Leo, and some topics I'm excited to talk to you about. The first one being Quora, the Q&A service that is getting tons of buzz. I know you've been a member, I think, for a while now.
Have I really?
Yeah. You've been on there for a while.
I've never answered a question on Quora.
Oh.
I might be a member because I sign up for everything. But I don't remember ever signing up for it. No, Scoble uses it like crazy.
I know. And I've noticed more people like Matthew Ingram, he who you also know from Toronto, is using it a lot. And so it was funny on Twitter a couple of days ago, I started to notice more people who were tweeting out questions and answers. And of course, I signed up and have started to use it a little bit.
So this is Dave Morin started this, a Facebook guy. And will you tell me what the idea is? Because I'm not sure I understand why anybody would want this.
Yeah, it's two former Facebook people who started the service. And the idea behind it is
not,
just that
not
you can
Dave
go...
Morin. I'm sorry. It was D'Angelo.
Yes, D'Angelo.
Yes.
And
Dave Morin's his path.
Mm-hmm.
They've all gone off to do their own thing, which maybe they might regret now that Facebook's worth, what was it, $50 billion?
We'll talk about that in a few minutes, too. But the Facebook, former Facebook employees who started up the site, you know, funny enough, one of them was actually at school with Zuckerberg. The other one also went to Harvard. And I get the feeling they were involved in the early days of kind of Facebook as it developed. They decided to jump ship and start their own service. And the idea behind Quora is that it essentially is a question and answer site. So a place where you can go and you can ask questions, they get answered. You can contribute to the community by adding comments to answer. You can vote things up and down on the site. You can tweet out your questions or put them onto Facebook as well. And so there really is a pretty big community that is there already. I put a question up there just to see how quickly people responded, and it was actually pretty fast.
So what kind of questions?
You know, Leo, it really runs the gamut. And I think this is kind of the exciting part of the site, is at first I was kind of thinking, well, why would you ever go here? But then you dive in and you get a little bit fascinated with the type of questions that are there. Like, for instance, one of the questions I thought was interesting was, what movie could not have been made today because of the way that we live and exist with mobile phone technology? And there's a bunch of answers.
That's a very interesting question. So that's a very open-ended question.
Sure, and they're all open-ended. So, you know, answers included Home Alone, for instance, that would not have been able to be made today. Just call home, as well as Superman, because he would not have, it would be hard for him to depend on having the phone booth to change into his tights and cape.
There's no phone booth.
So there's a ton of really quality, funny answers, and most of the questions are open-ended, and that's how the site really works, is that people can go and ask, you know, a question about any topic, and there's some really compelling answers, you know, not just short little 140 characters or less, the type of content you find on Twitter, but instead, some of the answers are, you know, 10 paragraphs long. So if you want to kind of dive into a Wikipedia-like experience, but have it almost real-time, where this is based on questions that people are curious about today, there is a ton of really compelling content there.
So I apparently do have an account because
you sure do.
Do I answer questions?
No, you don't do anything, Leo.
Okay. I must have signed up at one point. There are 1,290 items related to me. Apparently a lot of people are asking questions of me, but I, I did join a site very similar called FormSpring. And I think this is doing a lot better. Do you know FormSpring?
Yeah, I sure do.
Why do you think this is doing better?
I think that there's just more architecture in the site itself in terms of more ways to kind of interact, more ways to follow content categories. It's just better organized. And when I say more ways to interact, I mean things like liking an answer, voting it up, leaving a comment, those type of things. Right. It just seems as though the community's kind of latched onto it. And it's super easy to use. The only thing that I would say, and I would caution for anyone signing up right now, is they automatically sign you up for a bunch of notifications. So when people follow you and they mention topics that you like, and all of a sudden I start to get, my inbox was just getting flooded.
Yeah.
So the first thing you should do if you sign up is go into your settings and disable all of the options in terms of getting notifications sent to you that you really don't need.
What's interesting, of course, is, I mean, you could put a site up that has questions and answers easily. What's interesting is the people answering questions on here are a lot of big names, like the CEO of NG Moco. The first, I'm just looking at the questions and answers, the CEO at Instagram. The question was, what is the story behind Instagram? Well, the CEO, Kevin Systrom, who we've had on the show, will answer. Possibly because of the Facebook connection of the founders, but they've got some really big names answering questions on here, and that makes it more useful, doesn't it?
It sure does. I mean, there's an article, I think, I don't remember what San Francisco newspaper it is, but there was an article about the former CEO of AOL who's in there, who's answering questions all the time.
Steve Case. Yeah. He, in fact, is on here saying why he thinks AOL is still a vital company. And I think that's of great interest.
It is. And so it's one of those things where, you know, you hear about it and you think, why would I ever go there? But like Twitter, you start to get, you know, involved in the conversation and it becomes more interesting. And unlike Twitter, you know, there really aren't great ways to follow conversations on Twitter. And this has always been one of your complaints. But I think this site allows you to actually get involved in a conversation to kind of expand, you know, your opinions about something, get into debates. And they all seem so far to be friendly debates. So I think anyone who has any interest in any topic can find content there that they'll find, you know, that they'll want to follow and contribute to the conversation.
My big question is, why would anybody waste a lot of energy answering questions on here? I mean, just for the glory of it?
Well, Leo, but think about it. Why would anyone, you know, fill out different categories on Wikipedia?
Well, I agree. Wikipedia's Wikipedia, but I think it's a little different than this. The thing that concerns me a little bit, and we've seen this so many times before with Facebook, with Twitter, is you pour a lot of your heart and soul into something. It's not yours. It's not your company. You're giving them all this equity, all this value for nothing, just because you feel like doing it. And I'm getting maybe a little burnt out on that. Now, Wikipedia, I think, is a little bit different. I admire Jimmy Wales' openness with it. It's a very open platform. He doesn't accept advertising. It's really a nonprofit. Is Quora a nonprofit?
I would say no.
Ooh, I think it's a for-profit big time.
Yeah, big time. And they've received quite a bit of funding. I tried, and I've contacted the press person at Quora to try to get them on the show. So I'm hoping we can get one or both of the founders to come on Net at Night and talk a little bit about it.
I'll ask them the tough questions. I don't mean to ask you the tough questions. I've seen this before, and I'm just curious as to how this could make any sense.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, it's amazing the number of people who seem to be contributing. There are debates about how many people are members, you know, anywhere from 200,000 right now to 500,000 people. But it seems to be kind of catching on. I'm not sure that I agree with this article in the Telegraph. I sent you a link to it that said that the site will be bigger than Twitter. I don't get that feeling just yet, but who knows? I never thought that about Twitter. I never thought it would be as big as it actually is.
Oh, I can guarantee you it's not. And unless my instincts are completely wrong, This won't be around in a year or two. My opinion.
We'll see.
Let's get them on.
Yeah, let's get them on.
I cannot understand why people would pour their heart and soul into something that is a for-profit enterprise that they gain nothing from. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't have the staying power of Twitter, because Twitter is much more amorphous. It's not question and answer. It's just whatever. And there's links in there. There's value pouring through it at a very rapid pace.
But what if they use this as a resource, like they would use, you know, Wikipedia or a search, a Google search, you know, what is the best hotel?
By the way, I think we broke it. I think everybody's going there and it's really slow right now.
Really?
I think that's another problem.
That could be another problem. Yeah, I'm not sure yet. I don't know. You know, my opinion right now is I think it's promising. I'd love to get them on and talk a little bit more about it and, you know, make an opinion from there.
I do like that you can, we should ask Kevin about this, because very dig-like, you can vote up and vote down answers. And so... you presumably, if you asked a question, you know, what is the best cell phone? And you could see what people voted, not only answered, but how they voted, which might be kind of interesting.
Yeah. And I think at the end of the day, what I found about it is I thought it would be all sort of frivolous content. You know, it's far from it. I mean, the amount of time people are spending here writing out elaborate answers just floors me. Is that sustainable? I don't know.
Do you think I think what's going to happen is it's the flavor of the week. And people are going to tire of it, and then they're going to move on. And you need to have people putting a lot of effort into answering questions on here for it to continue to be valuable.
Yeah, and I think people are thirsty for something new, right? You know, everybody's looking for the next Twitter, the next web service, and what is it, right? We're kind of tired of Facebook, and right. They're kind of hoping that, you know, maybe this is it, or maybe, you know, it has a chance to beat them out, but...
So let's get to this Facebook question, because Facebook raised $500 million from Goldman Sachs, which I think everybody knows from the most recent depression, and the Digital Sky Technology Company, which is a big Russian holding company from Russia. $500 million investment places them at $50 billion in valuation.
I know.
That's huge. Are they worth it?
It's massive. I don't know. You know, it seems like it's a little inflated.
I guess they are if somebody will pay it, and somebody is paying it.
Sure. But I think at the end of the day, especially, you know, having gone through the whole .com boom and bust. I'm a little bit skeptical when we talk about amounts like that. You know, $15 billion, it's just...
It's amazing.
It's amazing.
It's truly amazing.
Yeah, so... who knows? You know, I can't imagine someone paying that amount of money for it. I don't think they would sell either.
No, they're not for sale. It's very clear. Yeah, in fact, so we now know that several companies, including Google and I think Twitter and I think Microsoft, have all tried to buy Facebook and all been turned down. So maybe it is worth that much. We've got two great links coming up, our site of the night and our video of the night, but we want to get to our guest of the week, a really great guest, an old friend and a guy who's been on many times. Before we do that, though, I'd like to mention another good friend. The people who are sending us to Vegas are the Ford Motor Company. We're really thrilled. Ford's been such a great sponsor. They're back on TWiT for 2011 on all of the shows. And they are our one and only sponsor for the CES show. So we're very excited about that. We have a lot of in-kind sponsors who are helping us with equipment like NewTek with the new, I'm very excited with the new TriCaster 850 we'll be using there. And LiveU is providing us with the portable backpacks so that we can get out into the field and bring you CES as if you were there.
A little crowd surfing?
I don't know if there'll be a big enough crowd to surf, but if yeah, why not? Whatever they want. I'll give them anything they want. I tell you what, we're going to go in style in our Ford vehicles, that's for sure. Ford, of course, has that great Sync, which I've talked about before. I've been a fan of Sync since I bought my Mustang about a year and a half ago. I still am in love with it. Just an amazing, and now they have new apps coming out from for the iPhone and Android that'll let you send destinations to your car directly from your phone. They've got a whole app platform they're developing. We're going to hear a lot about Ford and Sync at CES. Alan Mulally, the CEO, is giving the keynote on Thursday, and we're interviewing him too. I think right after his keynote, we're going to have a conversation with Alan Mulally. That should be a lot of fun. And I promise you, we'll show you the latest in Sync, but just the Sync as is right now is pretty amazing. True hands-free calling. I just press a button on my steering wheel. Don't take my eyes off the road. Keep my hands at 10 and 2. Go boop. And it says, bing. And I say, call Amber MacArthur on cell. And if I had your number, it would call you.
She never give it to you.
She won't give me your number. Turn by... Go to Amber MacArthur's house. It's great for stalking. Turn by turn directions the whole way. If there's bad traffic, it's going to make me late. It'll reroute me automatically. And should I run into a tree along the way... And the airbags deployed, 911 assist is going to keep me safe by calling 911, feeding my GPS coordinates to them, playing a pre-recorded message, and then giving me a chance to talk to. Sync is amazing. On Ford and Lincoln vehicles, some of them it's optional, some of them it's standard. And if you take a look at the Ford Edge, take a look at the Ford My Ford Touch, which is Sync Plus with the big screen. I'm just such a fan. You've got to try it, and the best way to do it is either to go to the website SyncMyRidePodcast.com and see the videos, or better yet, go to a Ford or Lincoln dealer and say, I want to test drive the Sync. Keep your hands on the road, your eyes on the wheel, but stay connected to the world with a fabulous Ford Sync, and we thank them for their support of Net at Night and our trip to CES and all the TWiT podcasts. Should I get Mr. Rose on the air here?
Yeah, Leo, just before we get him on, did I read correctly on Mashable, I think today, that Sync is now in 3 million cars?
Wow, is that true? That's fantastic.
I think I just read that today, so pretty amazing. Yeah, let's get Kevin.
Kevin
on.
Just bought a Porsche Carrera.
Oh, nice.
No Sync in that, I don't believe, unless I'm mistaken. but it's a pretty nice car, I have to admit. And I've seen his GPS. And hey, there he is. Hey, Kevin, how are you?
Good. How's it going?
Congratulations.
Hey, Kevin.
Thank you. Thank you. Hello.
How do you like your Porsche?
It's a great car.
Yeah,
it's not my daily driver. I drive a Mini.
It's cute because he's very unassuming. He drives the Mini, but when he wants to go somewhere, vroom vroom. He took me. He didn't take me for a ride. We were going
to
race.
I wanted to. Yeah, we were going to race.
Oh, that would be awesome. I would watch that live stream.
I'm glad we didn't do it, actually.
That would have been fun. I hated Porsches for the longest time. I always thought they were kind of douchey cars. And then somebody gave me a ride in one, and I was like, holy shit, these little things are fast.
So. Yeah. But you drive sensibly, of course.
Yes, of course.
Of course. So tell us about Foundation. I was just watching it the other day. It came out, when, Monday?
Yeah, it just came out yesterday. So Foundation, I've been wanting to do another podcast for a long time. And essentially, you know, part of my weekly schedule involves meeting with a lot of entrepreneurs. So I go and have coffee and tea and talk to them about the products they're building and just ways that they manage their employees and you name it. And a lot of these conversations were amazing and conversations that I wish that I could actually tape and send out to other entrepreneurs. So it's not a tech news show. It's not a business show. A lot of interviews with entrepreneurs tend to be like, you know, where is your business going to be 5 years from now? And those aren't the types of questions I wanted to ask. I really wanted to get to down to, you know, how they come up with everything from the name for their product to certain feature decisions that they're making, and just really release this information for free to everyone and let people learn from these guys and girls, because a lot of them are just amazing entrepreneurs.
Jack Dorsey on your first one. And it, you know, that was the first thing that struck me. You're a great interviewer anyway, but you come from as a startup, you know, entrepreneur yourself and now an angel funder. You come from, you're kind of an equal to these guys. You're a peer. And so you can ask questions in a way that they really treat differently than if some interviewer like me asked it.
I think you could ask the same questions that I do, but
well, maybe then you just ask the better question.
I think that it's like I try to with this whole thing. I try to take it out of a studio. I don't want them to feel like you know, they're doing an interview for CNN or something. They're very small little cameras. You know, we're having tea. It's just a conversation, and that's try to kind of what I'm trying to go for is something that's really casual, something that they would just, you know, they're just kind of trying to shoot the shit with someone.
Right.
That's a horrible way to say that, but yeah.
So you mentioned that you wanted to do another podcast, and yet this is kind of coming out in a different format because it's really wrapped around the newsletter, which is sort of old technology in some ways. How did you decide on this being the perfect format and also doing things like charging for it as well?
Yeah, so one of the things with these videos is that the videos tend to be, this one's 20-some minutes, but I have a feeling that some of them are going to be 15, 20 minutes in length, and I really didn't want to have ads on the video at all. I really like how beautiful it is when it's shot on, you know, Canon 5D Mark IIs. It's really clean. It's all HD. I didn't want to stop like halfway through an interview and say, now our sponsor is brought to you by, and I think that works great for shows like Dignation, Twit, longer format, 45-minute, hour-long shows. But for this, I want to do it completely clean. So there's a couple ways you can do it. I wanted to cover all my costs, obviously, when doing this stuff. So I decided, like, you know, I want to do a newsletter anyway, regardless of whether I do videos. There's stuff that I get early access to. So I meet with a lot of these entrepreneurs and they say, like, you know, I'll give you a code to let 100 people into our service or 500 people into our service. They don't want 10,000, 50,000 people jumping on because they're just testing the waters with a new product launch, but they may want 500 people in. So I was thinking, okay, maybe I put together a newsletter where I send out the videos through the newsletter, send out like early access to like websites and things like that before, some people will have access to it. And then just little rants and things that I want to do on there. And I'll give away all this content for free anyway. And if people tweet it out or whatever, who cares? But for the people that are willing to pay and support the production, then it's $1 a week, $3.99 a month. So yeah, it works great.
I mean, right now. That's very reasonable.
Yeah, especially because I don't really plan on putting ads on the stuff, you know. If you pay for the videos, you're never going to receive a video that has, you know, brought to you by Netflix or anything like that. It's always going to be completely ad free. So, yeah, it's just I wanted to try it, and it's so far it's working.
Yeah, I kind of like you doing the experiment, not me. But I think it's a worthy thing to do. The newsletter is called Foundation. No, the newsletter is called
Foundation.
It is called Foundation.
I killed Forward altogether. So Forward was going to be this other podcast, but I just decided to kill it.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And so the newsletter is called Foundation, and the podcast is also called Foundation. It's all just one thing.
foundat.io/n. And you're using Philip Kaplan's tiny letter for this.
Yes, which I think actually is down right now. He's doing an upgrade on it.
So yeah. So I don't know if it's is it him or is it us?
It could be. You know what? Maybe you guys brought him down.
I think that's what happened. Right. we brought Quora down about 10 minutes ago. So there's a lot of people watching because of you.
If you can bring Quora down, you can definitely bring down Tiny Letter.
Tiny Letter is cool. I actually signed up for it. Pud said, I want to make it very, 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 very simple to do an email newsletter.
Yeah, that's and the cool thing is he doesn't tell you this and he doesn't advertise it on his site, but he's actually using a really high-end mail delivery network on the back end to deliver the mail. So a lot of these like free email services that you go and you sign up, and you get a lot of where they automatically put the email into like a spam bin. Like it requires managing those relationships very tightly with these email providers to ensure that your email doesn't get thrown into spam. So Tiny Letter is actually has a pretty high delivery rate. So it's a good service, and it's freaking free, which is awesome. And Pud's just not a cool entrepreneur in general.
How do you handle the charging, the back end, so that you make sure that people are subscribers?
PayPal subscriptions.
Oh, and you just do that manually, or...?
No, he handles all that. You can go in and say, I want to create a new newsletter, charge $1 a month, whatever you want, pick your URL, and then he does it all, and then he cuts you a check for it.
Are you an investor?
No, although we're going to go talk about it in like the next week or so because I think it's a cool idea.
I can imagine, though, you know, if you get enough people subscribing, I'm just kind of doing the math in my head, at $4 a month, I mean, for, you know, someone out there who wants to push out a newsletter, you can make a pretty decent amount of money off of it.
How many do you think you'll get, Kevin? What would you like to get? 10,000 subscribers?
Well, I mean, the whole thing is the good news is that it's already paid for itself. Like right now, I'm right around close to 1,000 subscribers right now. So that pays for all my costs to go and travel and edit and shoot and all that stuff, which is awesome. Bandwidth wise, we're right about break even right now, which is great. So, you know, I don't know. It's as long as I can. I don't really need to make a ton of money off of this. The play was never to make a ton of cash off of it. It's more just like I want to be able to travel when I want to travel. If I have to fly to meet an entrepreneur in London or New York or wherever, I want to be able to cover those costs. And it looks like it's going to be able to do that. So that's awesome.
Somebody has created a tinyletter.com/twit, but that's not me. So don't pay $1.99 because I don't know who Roman Matt is, but it ain't us.
Kevin, who is the audience, do you think, for this, for Foundation? Because obviously it is very different than the audience for Dignation.
It's pretty small. It's pretty small. I never intended it to be a big audience. I did, because Dignation, you know, does 150,000 or so downloads a week. And I had always thought that Foundation would be in the 25 to maybe 30,000 range. But the audience is people that, you know, are looking to start a new project, start a new company, and want solid advice from other entrepreneurs that have done it before. Geeks in general. Someone that wants to know about the latest new upcoming website before it gets launched. Because that's the kind of stuff that I'm seeing. And I want to just be able to say, like, hey, I think this is going to be huge. Like, I don't know. Had I had Foundation 3 months ago, I probably would have pushed to talk about PATH before it was launched and sit down with those guys and show off the service.
Right,
and, you know, there's a couple new cool startups that I'm looking at right now that once I get the permission, I hope to be able to do the first kind of exclusive sneak peek on Foundation. So
that's some values for your investees as well. You've got a platform.
Yeah, it's a great platform for them to get their message out there. And I think it'll be great.
Let me ask, though. I mean, Dignation tried a kind of a paid, supported a system that didn't work so well because the Dignation viewers were pretty smart, and they immediately created, redirects so that if you didn't pay, you know, the idea was you paid so you get an early version of Dignation.
Right.
And they had to stop doing it because they were just giving it away. I mean...
Yeah. So I don't plan on... The whole thing here is I don't plan on, like, hiding the URLs or password protecting them. If it gets out there and people aren't going to pay for it, they're just not going to pay for it. I don't plan on going after anyone or trying to shut down sites. If there's a Get Foundation early site, the videos are only going to be out a week early. It's not like it's news. The thing with Dignation where people were upset is that Dignation is very...
That's true.
It's more a little bit...
It's news.
It's news. And so it's going to be old and stale in a couple of weeks. And so... this isn't so much, I mean, I've recorded this first episode here probably 3 or 4 weeks ago, and it's still fresh as can be, so.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense, especially if you don't have to do whack-a-mole with these other servers.
Yeah.
And the truth is, this is a good example of people know it's you, they're not going to rip you off, and it's $3.99, come on, you know. It's
yeah, I think that people are finally, you know, they understand that if there's something of quality, they want to enjoy it forever, they need to be able to support that and pay for that. And if you can't afford it, you know, you just wait 1 week or you find it on some site. And that's fine, too, because there's people that can't afford that. So, you know.
So, Kevin, are you just doing it on a monthly basis? Is that right?
Yeah, so I'm definitely going to do one per month, but there's probably going to be little things, little video clips and stuff that I'll edit together and launch and talk about in between. Like if I was just playing with that little Jawbone speaker system, that little tiny thing.
Right.
I mean, it's old now, but that's an example of like you get something kind of early in that you're playing with that you think is really cool, and why not shoot a 2-minute video and launch it through the newsletter and say, like, hey, this is just something I think is awesome. You should check it out. So.
Even though you're doing a lot with the investor community, are you happy to kind of get back into doing more video?
Yeah, video is awesome. It's always been a lot of fun ever since, you know, I started doing The Broken way back in the day. And obviously, Leo let me on his show on the Screensavers way back in the day.
I let you on, huh? Yeah, it was the smartest thing I ever did. Dark Tipper, ladies and gentlemen.
You got me on. You got me going. So I'll always be grateful for that.
And Paul Block gets credit too, who is our executive producer,
definitely,
saw some real merit in Kevin Rose. Actually, we'll tell a story we've told it before. But Kevin came up with a bug in Microsoft Windows and said, "Look, this is a big bug." And we said, "Whoa, wait a minute!" And we called Microsoft and they said, "Nah, it's a feature." So we said, "Okay, Kevin, why don't you come on and tell everybody about it?"
And then they patched it in the next version, the next release.
It's a feature.
Right.
So that was the beginning. Yeah. Now you've far, as is usually the case with everybody who works with me, far surpassed us. But
you always say that, but it's not true.
Oh, come on.
Leo, weren't you in the New York Times last week?
Oh, that's nothing. Really, he was on the cover of Business Week. We're talking to the $60 million. Oh, you probably don't like us to talk about that too much.
Oh boy! I don't care.
That wasn't your headline. That was theirs. You didn't say it. They did.
True.
Yeah. No, I'm really pleased. This is great. And I think that now here I do have a question because I know you love doing shows, and but at the same time, I remember when you were kind of backing off from G4, you said I want to create stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Which is it, Kevin?
You know, I'm kind of messing around with an idea for an iPhone app right now that I'm playing around with.
So you're still doing that.
There's always that little itch that I have that it's weird. It's a blessing and a curse kind of, because I think that I tend to be a little scatterbrained and I don't focus on things as much as I should. Like I should stay on one thing and stay with it for a long time, and then I have another idea for something else and I go off and do something else. And it's been that way for a while. I mean, like I created Pounce, just a bunch of different little things over the years. And so I think that I'll always be that way. I'm learning to embrace it, to do a little bit of everything. The key thing that is, if you're going to build a business, like you're really going to have employees that report to you and you take on investment money, you've got to do only one thing. Because that was a mistake I did with Pounce, and we didn't put enough time and effort into that, and it ended up being just a nightmare with too many things going on, too many employees to juggle, two different sets of companies. And Revision 3 is another great example. I mean, Revision 3 is doing great, but like, I'm glad we finally hired a CEO and gave that to someone else, and Prager was helping run all that stuff. Because you'll drive yourself crazy. You think you can do it, but then when it comes down to it and you actually try and do multiple businesses, it's just not doable.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good lesson for Amber and me both to pay attention.
Yeah, I'm like dreaming that I'm only doing one thing right now, but that's not happening.
Write that down.
Can you give us sort of a sneak peek on as far as anyone coming up on the show?
You know, I actually just traded emails with Zuckerberg this morning.
Ooh.
No, he said he's not doing press for a couple months, and so he won't be for a little bit later. But I would love to sit down with him and talk about, just all the nitty-gritty details.
This is why this is going to be a good show, because I would prefer to watch you interview Zuckerberg than anybody else. Yeah. I don't want to see Charlie Rose interview Mark Zuckerberg. I want to see you interview Zuckerberg, because you're going to ask questions I think that'll be more germane than anyone. I'd be very curious to see what he... So get him on. That's good.
It should be fun, but I think that one's a little ways
out. Who's your dream catch that you'd love to get, but seems... Steve Jobs, maybe?
Yeah, Jobs would be obviously amazing. I sent another email to Mark Pincus, who started Zanga.
Pincus,
because I really want to get to the core of, you know, some of these features that he's creating to, I mean, his applications go from zero users to, you know, 20 plus million users in 30 days using the Facebook platform. And he is a master at figuring out when to trigger these certain emotions to invite your friends to do everything from participate to, you know, join up and become neighbors, to water your plants, to whatever it may be. I just want to get to the bottom of all those, like that they call it the Zynga playbook that they use. And I want to talk about all those different features and who invents these features and do you think it's taking it too far. And it'll be interesting.
What do you think about Quora? Because Amber and I are having a little disagreement, because it seems to me that it only works until people, as long as people are willing to answer questions. And I just don't know how long that's going to last.
Yeah, that's another one. Mahalo would be another one as well, because he's actually paying people to kind of do that.
That's right. Very interesting. Kevin Rose, thank you for being here. Foundation.
Yeah, thanks so much.
FOUNDAT.io/N. Or just go to Kevin Rose. Go to KevinRose.com.
Yeah, the first video is up there, so if you just want to check it out, KevinRose.com.
Awesome.
Good luck, Kevin.
Cool, thank you.
Awesome. Thanks,
Amber.
Great to talk to you. Take care. Our good friend, Kevin Rose, one of my favorite people. Always great to talk to him. All right, Amber, site of the night.
Yeah, so our site of the night, Leo, I don't know if you heard of this. It's called Mykea. I think it's fairly new.
I like the name.
I know, and it's from IKEA. So if
it's from IKEA.
Yeah, I believe it's from IKEA.
I thought it was dissing IKEA.
Not really. I don't think so. I mean, maybe it's not from them. I should probably check that. But nonetheless, it is for IKEA furniture that can often be very bland, as you know, just white bookcases and desks and other, you know, dressers.
Such a good idea.
So you can customize this furniture by going to this website and choosing a design to fit certain types of IKEA furniture. You can either upload your own photos or design, or you can choose a design from the community. And community members, in fact, get paid for the designs that other people use. So there's a neat element there of just sort of a social group of people who are contributing this great work to pretty up people's IKEA furniture.
I love it. Is it stickers? How does it work when you get it?
I think they're like decals or decals, as you say in America.
You say decals in Canada?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Not when I first moved to the States and someone said decal, I thought it meant it would lack calories.
I'm going to decal you.
I don't know.
Decals? Really? Decals?
Yeah. When I went to the Mykea website, which is this, thisismykea.com, and that's Mykea.com.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was on the About Us page. There's a page that is still in lorem ipsum. So there's a lack of information.
Yeah.
So I think it's fairly, relatively new.
Yeah.
But a super fun idea.
About Us. Lorem ipsum. Oh, no, say no to naked furniture. See, that's why I thought maybe it couldn't be IKEA, because maybe they wouldn't want to admit that their furniture was naked.
It's like I said, it's hard to tell. Maybe it was the press page. There's a page that still isn't really filled in yet. So I assume they had some type of relationship with them. But, you know, I definitely could be wrong. It just had an IKEA feel to it when I went
there.
It does.
It's kind of cool. Yeah. We're going to get our video of the week in just a second. Before we do, I do want to mention our friends at Audible.com. Have we yet gotten you into Audible, Amber? I think not, have we?
No, Leo, but you know what? The problem is, again, I know everybody's busy. I just feel like I have no time to do anything.
That's
however,
the point, Amber.
I know. Leo, I have 15 speaking events in the next 3 months, and I'm going to Australia.
Oh, you need it. You got a 13-hour flight ahead of you.
I know. And there's also a book that I want to get, and I hope it's on Audible.
What is it?
And Tim Ferriss, you know Timothy Ferriss.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to book him on Net at Night. He wrote the 4-Hour Work Week.
Mm-hmm. He's got a new one, the 4-Hour Body.
The 4-Hour Body.
You don't want a 4-Hour Body, do you?
I just want to read it. I'm just interested because I think it rose to number one on Amazon.
It's huge,
Yeah, it's done really well. So, and hopefully, it looks like, Leo, he might be coming on Net at Night in a couple of weeks. So
good. Well, we'll make it our recommendation then. I'm positive I've seen it. They have his other book for sure.
That's what I'm wondering. They
is
probably
it F-E-R?
Have it. R-I-S-S, is that right? Timothy Ferriss?
See, yeah. You know who we should have asked is...
Kevin.
Kevin's his good buddy.
I know.
Kevin's got a 4-hour body. Yeah. The 4-hour body, an uncommon guide to rapid fat loss, incredible sex, and becoming human. Superhuman.
It's like body hacks, right? There's all these ideas to, you know, and, you know, I'm sure some of them are a little far-fetched. Nonetheless, just I would like
to... How would you like this for free? You could get it for free. Audible.com/night. Go there right now. Sign up for the Gold account. See, Audible's got 70. See, I knew they would have this because they've got 75,000 titles. They've got all the best books. If you subscribe to the Gold account, you'll get a book a month. Your first month is free. Your first book is free, and you can keep it forever and cancel at any time. So it costs you absolutely nothing. But I think you'll want to keep the subscription because just look, go to audible.com. Look at all these great books. For people like Amber who just say, oh, I don't have time to read, and I was one of them, in the year 2000, it's now I'm in my 11th year as an Audible customer. I signed up right at the beginning. I started listening to audiobooks during my commute from San Francisco, and I just couldn't stop. I've read now over 400 books. 400 books I would have never read had it not been for audible.com. In your car, it is. At the gym, I don't. In fact, if I have a choice between reading a paper book and listening to it in Audible, always Audible, always Audible. Audible.com/night. Get your first book free. Here's another one that I think Paul Thurrott recommended. You might want to get two books, Amber. Get that and Why We Get Fat and What to Do About It. Paul
Thurrott said this is good. Leah.
Yeah, no, I said 13 hours, but I think the flight to Sydney is like 20 hours, isn't it?
Well, remember, and also I'm coming pretty much from the East Coast, right?
Oh, good Lord.
So, yeah, it's a good long one.
Wow. Audible.com/night. Amber, waste no time. Now, the books we recommend are U.S. They are not available in all Audible markets, but check it out. Audible, that's publisher's restrictions, alas. Audible.com/night. All right, I am ready, Amber, for your pick of the week for video.
All right, Leo. So for our video of the week, I wanted to share this song, United State of Pop 2010, the top 25 Billboard hits all mashed up by DJ Earworm. And I believe we have featured his work before at the end of the year. So I thought it was appropriate coming into 2011 to play a little bit of this song, which is definitely rising up the ranks on YouTube.
Yeah, we have played his videos before, haven't we?
Yeah, we have a lot.
And I am at a disadvantage here because I watched this. I don't know any of these songs, but I'm going to take your word for it that if every song in here was a hit in the year 2010, and I'm sure if we don't get a letter from 20 different record labels for playing this, then I haven't done my job. Amber, have a great evening. Is it snowing in Toronto? Did you get part of Snowpocalypse?
No, we didn't. However, we did get a little bit of snow today,
oh
boy. but just a light dusting, and it's very pretty, so I can't complain.
Good. Well, enjoy. Stay warm. We'll see you next Tuesday. Amber is the author of this fabulous book, Power Friending. Get it from Portfolio. It's on Amazon everywhere. It's a great book for taking your business to the next level using social media. I'm stealing much of what's in this book, Amber, for my speech on social media on the cruise that I'm going on next month.
Ooh, good for you. Yeah.
I'm not going to give you any credit. No, I am.
That's it.
I'm going to bring the book. I'm going to say, buy this book. When you get off the boat, buy this book. She also does her own great video podcast called
CommandN.TV.
Great show.
And I think we'll have a new episode up on Wednesday, first one of the year. So that should be a lot of fun. And I should mention, Leo, that my Moderation Town episode just came out.
I saw it.
Thursday. It's ridiculous.
She plays a social media expert.
It was so much fun.
It was great. Where is it? Just Google Moderation Town.
ModerationTown.com. Yeah.
Yeah. And of course, CP24 and Web Nation and all the great stuff you do. Thank you, Amber.
Thanks,
ladies,
Leo.
And gentlemen, I give you DJ Earworm and the top hits of 2010, the United States of Pop.
Don't stop the